Well, again, good morning, and I would like to welcome all of you to Bethel. Again, it's no prettier season than the Christmas season and the New Year season. We are on New Year's Eve day, so welcome to that. I know you guys are anxious to leave and get started in the new year, and you have big party plans, I'm sure. So no late nights, early to bed, early to rise. Dave, heed my advice. But again, I do welcome you here this morning. Please, if you do wish to take poinsettias with you, please take them. And so that Mo doesn't have to water them and we don't have to clean them up. So we do appreciate that. I do want to begin with a word of prayer as we go to the Lord and our message this morning in Luke 2. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning as a family of faith gathered here in friendship and extended family throughout the nation. Lord, we are blessed to be in your presence this morning and in presence of family and friends. Lord, we come to you and we ask that you bless the word that we will read this morning in Scripture out of Luke 2, as well as bless the message that has been prepared for everyone here this morning. Help us to use that to the nourishment of our spirit. Help us to use that to the strength of our word and our actions as we share in our Christian faith with those that surround us, as well as those who we may cross paths with in the coming year. Lord, be with us now as we share in your word and your message in this holy place we lovingly call home, which many know to be Bethel. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning comes out of Luke 2. 16 through 24. That's a familiar passage to you. But often we stop mid-passage in Luke 2 and we get to about 14, 15, and that's the end of the story. And there's a whole lot more to Luke, and so I want to share that with you this morning. And that's where your message comes from as we celebrate New Year's Eve together here this morning in worship. So I want to begin with 16. I'll be in the New Living Translation. If you have your own Bible, you're in good shape. And if you have a New Living Translation, you'll be word for word. If you're using a Pew Bible, if you're visiting with us, it's going to be a little different, but that's okay. So here we go. We're going to start with the word in 16. And they refers to the shepherds. So I'll share that with you. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification of the offering, as required by the law of Moses. After the birth of the child, so his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome back to worship. It has, as Wade said, it has been a glorious month of services and celebration here at Bethel. We are overjoyed and overblessed to be with you this morning on behalf of this ministry. It is our final day of the year, but we still are hanging on into December. And on this beautiful Sunday morning, you sit here on the very last day of the year, on the eve of the new year. This new year will undoubtedly be filled with uncertainty, but what I want to talk about this morning is the hope that it will be filled with. As we learned in the Christmas story over the past several weeks, as we've studied together and shared the scriptures, and certainly Christmas Eve when we told you the whole story, The angels who came into the world to announce Jesus' birth had to calm the fear of those that they encountered. Every time they spoke with someone, they had to calm their fear. They used the term, "Don't be afraid." Well, that's the term I wish to launch each of you into this new year of 2024. Don't be afraid, is what I want to tell you. For God has chosen each of you to serve in His ministry, wherever that may be, whether it be here in this chapel, whether it be in your careers, whether it be in your community, wherever you are called and led by God, He has chosen each of you to serve in His ministry. And what a blessing that is. You know, we are a lot like the shepherds in many ways in the Christmas story, you and I are. In this Christmas story, once the shepherds realized that God wanted to communicate with them, they were free to worship Him then. They were no longer afraid. They were free to worship Christ Jesus, and they sought Him out. And they served Him during that process of going to see Him, but much more importantly, after they left Him, they served Him. As we travel into this new year, we must never forget and always celebrate the good news that just like me and you, Jesus came to us in flesh. This mere fact, friends, should reassure each of us that God is a personal God. God is a God that comes and connects with each one of us, both corporately and independently in our lives. Thus, God always is with us. He's present here this morning. He's present when we find ourselves alone from physical company. God is always with us, and He is always for us. As Christians, when we put our faith in the living God, the God that we celebrate this morning and have celebrated throughout last year and will yet again celebrate in the new year, that's called perfect love. That Christian faith celebrated in a living God is called a perfect love. Love like we've experienced over the past 5 weeks. This type of love expels all fear and unites us as one in service to the kingdom of God. It brings us closer together. It makes us family, regardless of where we physically live, but we are family in the presence. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That is part of the gift that came to us through this Christmas season. That's the gift we celebrate. The reason I said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year is, friends, Christmas isn't over. Many people, and we'll talk about that in a second, but many people think, well, check the box, it's done. But Christmas is nowhere close to being over, scripturally. And in our faith, it shouldn't be. And today, it's not. Yes, we will celebrate a new year as the sun rises tomorrow, but Christmas is well in motion in our lives. With that said, the question remains this morning, is it over? And that's the title of your message. If you look at it, it's over, but then it's up to you. Well, is Christmas over? Is it? I ask each of you. Now that Christ has come and we have enjoyed the goodness of the season, what shall we do now? What's left to do? If all of our packages are opened and our decorations begin to come down, what's left to do? In our scripture reading this morning, the shepherds gave us a good indication of what's left to do. They told the story over and over, scripture says. They went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen on that miracle night of Jesus' birth. The angel had told them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings and great joy for all people, not just you guys, not just the shepherds in the field, but I bring you great joy and good tidings and good news for all people. That was a charge by the angel, in my opinion. In my study of Scripture, the angel was sharing with them the gloriousness of God and the glory that will come with their introduction to Jesus Himself in flesh. It was a calling. He called to them. He asked them to share with the world. He said, the angel said, to all people. That just didn't mean them. When they dispatched themselves to the manger and then back to the flock, they had a charge. They had a duty. They had an obligation to the world on behalf of their living Savior, the newborn child, Jesus Christ. Well, friends, here you sit this morning back in your flock, back in the arms of your family in worship. It's up to you what we do now in this coming year. It is up to you what your priorities will be in 2024. As members and faithful attendees of Bethel Presbyterian Church, it's up to you how you're going to serve Christ this year, this coming year. You've done a great job this past year, but your work is not done. Nowhere close to being done. It's up to you what you do. It is your call, but it's also your decision. I want to share several things with you this morning that I think are important. But the first thing I want to tell you, and I'll tell you in just a few seconds, but there's a story I want to conclude this message with. And I hope that story helps you to embark on this new journey, which we like to call a new year. A new challenge, a new journey together as the ministry of Bethel Presbyterian Church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have big responsibility this morning, not just to come to worship, but what we're going to do tomorrow and how we're going to serve God tomorrow. That's a huge responsibility. I had the pleasure on Friday night, I spent about 2 hours with my cohorts in my commission lay pastor training class. In this meeting, we discussed the essential tenets of our faith. If you get a chance to read the essential tenets of ECO, I encourage you to do so. They're very enlightening. One of the questions we were asked to answer together was number 5 in our study. It says, the tenets claim that Jesus is the only way by which sinful people can return to God. Then it goes on to ask, do you really think that all other paths to God are false? Then it goes on to ask, what are the implications of such a claim for our interactions with non-Christians and those who are seeking God and may perhaps do not know God as you do? You know, one of the things I will say about commission lay pastor training is there's not one sentence in any one question. There's 15 questions in one question. So when they give you 10 questions, it's like 50 questions. But there are many parts, and I agree to this question. And it was one of 9 that we studied together, which caused us a 2.5-hour Zoom meeting on a Friday night. But what a glorious time we spent together answering these 9 questions. But the reason I bring this up is because it's super important to our discussion this morning. The general answer to that question is yes. That's the general answer. And that was our general answer. The specifics we won't get into this morning. But the reason it's yes is because Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way. And it answers the basic tenet of that question. Is Jesus the way to the sinful person who is looking to find or to reconnect with God? He is. Jesus is the center to all of that glory and understanding. And thus, the general answer is yes. I'm not sure if you remember the last sermon I shared with you before Advent. I believe that was the sermon where we did not have heat in the sanctuary and we all hustled and bustled over to the fellowship hall. What a glorious time that was, because I could see all your faces. This morning, Mitch is all the way in the back. I know it's Mitch because he sits there every Sunday. But it was great to have everybody connected and close in that social hall. But in that sermon, I told you I was concerned about the Christmas season coming up. If you recall what I said, I said that the world would soon unpack Jesus for the Christmas season. And then along about 5 or 6 weeks, I think I shared with you, which happens to be tomorrow, by the way, they would pack him back up and put him on a shelf for the ensuing year until the urgency or the priority of their life had changed and they were then back in the Christmas season some 12 months later in 2024. That was my concern in that message. Still my concern today, even after the glorious ceremonies and worship services that we've had together. Not so much perhaps for you, but for the world. In this new year, we will decide, you and I will decide whether it's over or not. You see, today is our decision-making day. You and I will decide if He remains out and prevalent in our lives throughout the entire year of 2024, or do we pack Him away this afternoon or perhaps tomorrow afternoon after we have rung in the new year. Over the Christmas season, we have experienced our fair shares of struggle. In our community, we have seen illness and sickness. We've experienced house fires and displaced families. We've endured hospitalizations of our friends. And yes, this very week, we've experienced death. But all of those issues combined, even death, should not derail us from our purpose in this coming new year. Our mission in this new year. It should not derail us from our service to Christ. For in 2024, Jesus must be the center of our lives, much like He is the center of our focus this morning before me in the manger scene. You see, Jesus came to save each and every one of us. For all people, the angel said to the shepherds, the least that we could do is declare in His glory this morning and His goodness, even when our chips are down, even when things aren't looking so good. I told you earlier that the new year will certainly bring uncertainty. Life's going to befall us in the new year. I have no idea what that will be. But what I can promise you is this, what Christ promises us through His birth and His coming is that hope will always exist. You see that candle in the center of the Advent wreath? In true Christian faith, that's the light of the world, and we talked about that Christmas Eve. That light never extinguishes if our focus is right. If we keep our focus where it is core-centered in Christ Jesus, that light never extinguishes. And then it's our duty and our call to share it with each other. But back to that question that my friends and I discussed on Friday night, that last part, I want to go back to that last part. I'll tell you what it says. It says, what are the implications in this belief to those who we encounter who are not like-minded? This tenet that Christ is the way to God. Christ is the way to a redeeming, redemptive God and eternal life. Well, in 2024, I want you to focus on several things, but I want you to do them every day. I want them to be the first things you think about when your feet hit the floor. Because you will be challenged in 2024 with this very thing. You will cross paths with people that are not like-minded as you are, as we are here this morning. You will cross paths with people that do not believe what you believe, but yet you are called in the new year as you have been in the previous year. You are called to share the light of Christ with the world. I want you to remember some things that I share with you. But before I share them, I remind you that they are not hard. It's not homework. It's not something that you're going to have to jot down on the back of your bulletin this morning. Because I saw it in each one of you this season of Christmas. I saw it in your faces. I observed it in your actions, in your words, your deeds, your generosity. All of those things. I've witnessed it firsthand from you. So it's not something you're going to have to take note of. But it's something I want you to think about every single day of 2024. When your feet hit the floor and you pull your bootstraps up and you lace up your shoes to go to work. Whatever that work looks like. I saw these things out of each one of you because the focus of your time was focused on Christ Jesus during this Christmas season. And because you were focused on Him, all of these things are natural in your Christian spirit. I'm just going to try to remind you what they are. And here are some of them. Friends, in 2024, before you start your day, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for yourselves. I want you to pray for this church. I want you to pray for the ministry. I want you to pray for each other. I want you to pray for things that you don't even know about. I want you to ask God to come in your life and be a prayer partner with you. I want you to pray every day. I want you to talk to Him just like He's standing right beside you. And then I want you to live simply. I want you to share in the simple living of your love and connection to each other. That's the simplest living there is. And then I want you to give generously, just like you did this Christmas season. I want you to give to those that are in need. I want you to give to the ministry. I want you to share your wealth with the world, not just your finances, but your time and your talents and your wisdom. Share it with the world. Then I want you to love each other. I want you to love each other the same way you loved each other this Christmas season. I want you to hug on each other, just like I witnessed you do that. I want you to be a part of a ministry and a community, just like we were here in this chapel and outside at the outdoor chapel. I want the feelings that you felt during the Advent season to follow you all year long. And then I want you to forgive each other. Because ultimately, we're going to step on a toe or two somewhere, either in our conversation or our action. But as Christians, that's the first thing we do, is to forgive each other. As we love on each other, let us forgive each other. And then lastly, I want you to serve God always. In everything you do, I want you to serve Him always. I want you to make Him the focus of your new year, just like He has been the focus of your Advent season. You see, these things that I share with you, I call them the keys to your faith in 2024. They answer that question. These are the keys to your Ferrari, perhaps, in 2024. Or your Volkswagen. It really doesn't matter what it looks like, does it? As long as Christ and Jesus is centered in your life, you will be successful. I'm trying to put a point to you that's in perspective. And it came out of that question that we studied Friday night. I was struggling with the closing of this message until we, together as a cohort, discussed this question. You see, I know you're going to be faced with the challenges that the world befalls you outside of those doors. Not here in this ministry, but you're going to, as a follower of Christ Jesus, you're going to be faced with this question. And somebody's going to ask you, hey, why do you believe what you believe? I appreciate your help. I appreciate this. I appreciate your finances. But why do you believe what you believe? And why are you helping me? Or why are you sharing your faith with me? We are often asked as Christians by those who don't believe, and it'll come to you again in 2024. It came to me multiple times in 23. God's not real. Why do we believe in things that aren't real, that aren't tangible? Well, I want you to listen to the story. It's about a pastor and a barber. I want you to heed these words as you leave this place today. So the story goes like this. A pastor walks into a barber shop to get him a trim. He sits down in the chair. The barber throws the apron over him and they start simply talking like most clients and barbers do. At first, it was just the typical small talk you would expect from the barber shop. But eventually, the conversation moves to something a bit more personal between the two. The barber asks the pastor that inevitable question, what he does for a living. And the pastor answers, well, I'm a preacher. The barber looks at him and as he's trimming around his ears and he says, okay, but there's no such thing as God. So why in the world would you want to be a pastor? Of course, the pastor is taken back and just responds with, what makes you think there's no God? He asks the barber. The barber responds, well, if there was a God, why would so many bad things happen to good people? Why would this world be in such a mess that it's in? Why would we have illness and death? The pastor casually brushes off the question to avoid any major confrontation. After all, he's not the ones with weapons in his hands. And the barber finishes up the haircut. And the good pastor leaves, but not before he shakes the barber's hand, wishes him a good day, blesses him, and tips him well. The pastor, pondering the question, thinking about confronting the barber now that he is outside the danger zone, he walks outside and notices a homeless man laying on the bench close to the barber shop, in fact, in front. The homeless man is hairy and grungy and he kind of looks pretty terrible. He taps the homeless man on the shoulder and the pastor says, hey, listen, come with me if you don't mind. So the homeless man gets up and follows the pastor back into the barbershop. Everyone inside, as soon as they enter, stops and looks as the two of them walk in. The pastor quickly says, hey, barber. I want you to know there's no such thing as a barber. The barber replies, very confused, obviously. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Pastor says, well, if there was such a thing as a barber, this man wouldn't be outside your store, hairy and grungy, and looking the way he does. The barber looks at the pastor, confused, and says, well, preacher? The problem isn't that I don't exist. The problem is that he's never came to see me. The pastor looks at the barber and says, precisely. Friends, tomorrow the new year begins. And for you and me, it's not over. As I told you earlier, Christmas is nowhere close to being over, biblically. The glory and goodness and the celebration of the coming of our Lord continues far beyond Christmas Day. Do not under any circumstances pack Jesus away, for He is the sole reason that you and I can do those stepping stones into the new year. He's the sole reason that you and I can pray every day. He's the sole reason that you and I can live simply. He's the sole reason that you and I have the ability and the good fortune to give generously. He's the sole reason that we can love each other as He has loved us. He is certainly the sole reason we can forgive quickly because He has forgiven us. And He is absolutely the reason for hope in the new year, regardless of its uncertainty, because He is the true hope of an eternal tomorrow. And tomorrow is yet another year for us to serve Him. Friends, this is our calling and our charge to share with the world. Much like the angels gave the charge to the shepherds, they left, returned to their flock, and spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus to the world. Today you have returned to your flock following Christmas, and tomorrow you shall share the gospel and the good news of Christ Jesus to the world. That's our charge. Back to the barber and the preacher. Christ does exist. And all we have to do is seek Him out, regardless of how pitiful or how hurtful we may feel or look. For He truly is the giver of all good and goodness, hope and joy and peace and love found in the Advent season. You see, these things are easy for you to recapture. These things are easy for you to share because I firsthand witnessed you share them the past 5 to 6 weeks. Now, what my expectations are of you as your shepherd is that you share them the next 52 weeks, just like you did through the Christmas season. Don't pack Him away. Leave Him right in the center of your lives. Glorify that all year long. Happy New Year. Amen.